Top experts concede forecasting inflation, as we say in New England, is wicked tough. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. The big financial story of the week is arguably what the guardians of interest rates said about the economy being strong enough to keep raising interest rates gradually. That key word, gradually, was in the minutes of the Fed's last interest rate meeting released to the public on Wednesday and extensively covered. But I know one person who read these minutes all the way through to the end and learned just how hard it is for the Fed to judge when inflation is about to become a problem. It is our Friday analyst, Christopher Lowe, the chief economist at FTN Financial here in New York. Hi, Chris.
Hey, David.
You read all the way down to the bottom of the minutes? I sure did not.
I did, David. And what you notice as you get really deep into the weeds is there were actually three presentations from the economic staff about inflation and using inflation to make policy decisions, which basically boils down to the conclusion, you know, none of this stuff is really working anymore. We don't know where inflation comes from, and we don't know how to influence it.
Well, that's a problem because so much about economic policy turns on trying to figure out if inflation is a clear and present danger.
Oh, absolutely. And imagine if you were a participant in the FOMC meeting, what are you supposed to say? So, of course, they have their discussion about inflation, which is reported later in the minutes. And there they are talking about the importance of controlling inflation expectations and the fear that wage increases will leak into price increases. All the stuff the economists had just told them doesn't actually work. But I think in the end they are vindicated, and that is because even though they talk as if all this stuff is still known and proven, they acted differently. And that is, had they really believed in their own models, they would have tightened more aggressively. They would have signaled more rate hikes because, of course, we just had a massive tax cut, and the economic outlook is brighter. They didn't do that. They're sticking with gradualism. And in a sense, that's a wait and see, we'll step it up if we need to approach, which I think is really sensible, given that the staff is telling them this stuff doesn't work the way it used to.
All right. Good briefing from Christopher Lowe, the chief economist at FTN Financial. Thank you.
You're welcome, David.
Famed investor Warren Buffett's Berkshire Hathaway publishes Buffett's annual letter to investors this weekend. It will be scoured for clues as to what Buffett and team want to do with a massive pile of money they have on hand. Marketplace's Mariel Segarra has more.
So a quick refresher, Berkshire Hathaway is a public holding company with a market cap of $500 billion. It's led by Warren Buffett. It owns companies like Geico and Duracell and has big stakes in American Express, Kraft Heinz, Coca-Cola, the list goes on. And for 50 years, Buffett's been sending these annual letters to shareholders. They're often long. Last year's was 28 pages. They talk about what's going on at the company and in the economy at large. And investors read these letters really carefully, looking for Buffett's insights. This year, investors are looking for a few things. Details about the company's succession plans, about what it's going to do with its $100 billion of cash, about how it was impacted by the corporate tax cut, and about its new healthcare venture with JP Morgan and Amazon.
Mariel, thank you very much. We're following news that the Chinese government has seized control of Anbang, the Chinese firm that owns some famous U.S. properties, including New York's Waldorf Astoria Hotel. Anbang's former chairman has also been charged with financial crime. The BBC's Asia Pacific editor Michael Bristow is following this.
For many years, Anbang seemed to be one of China's success stories. It started as a small car insurance firm in 2004, but grew rapidly, selling different kinds of financial products. It also went on a global spending spree, buying other insurers, but also diversifying. It owns New York's Waldorf Astoria Hotel. But its boss, Wu Xiaohui, was detained last June. The authorities also imposed new rules on how Chinese companies can invest overseas. Regulators have now been put in control of Anbang, and Mr. Wu is being prosecuted.
The BBC's Michael Bristow. The movie Black Panther has already earned $500 million, and it's just moving into its second weekend in theaters. A mostly black cast in a movie with strong African themes continues to change what Hollywood sees as mainstream. Marketplace's Andy Euler has an update.
Black Panther's commercial success is a big deal, says Terry Francis, director of the Black Film Center Archive at Indiana University.
It's a good thing for actors. It's good for the producers who thought this was a great idea.
Gil Robertson, president of the African American Film Critics Association, says that's great, but it's not the motivating factor for movie makers.
The reason why they do what they do is to make money.
Disney and Marvel spent $200 million on production, another $150 million on publicity. But a black superhero movie is a turn. Traditionally, Hollywood believed movies with mostly black casts wouldn't succeed internationally, so studios wouldn't make them. Tom Noonan at UCLA School of Theater, Film, and Television says Black Panther bucks that orthodoxy, and he thinks it will help change things.
I've tried to look at it skeptically, cynically, academically, in every which way possible to consider it as an outlier, and I don't think it is.
And we'll have more perspective in the coming weeks as the movie rolls out into more international markets. I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
While stock prices have regained some of the big losses of this month, there's data that investors are still taking their money out. $2.4 billion was taken out of stock funds last week, according to an outfit that tracks this called EPFR Global. Even more came out the week before. This is mainly retail investors. Many of the big dogs have been buying, although that trade has yet to be fully vindicated, to use that word again in this show, with the S&P 500 still down 3.6% this month. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.